Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Reverend Jen, and you are on Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. And it has been quite a night already. I'm amazed that I'm here. I was desperately trying to call in and be on Skype. But I'm here, and we're ready to go. Rebecca, are you there?
I am here. Hi. Wonderful. You have no idea the stress that I just went through trying to get on the air. So
You're kidding.
Glad I'm here. We're going to hope that I have a decent connection. I'm in the mountains of Western North Carolina, and I was trying to call in with Skype so that I would be assured of a good connection, and that just wasn't going to happen tonight. So what's been going on with you, Rebecca?
Oh, man, I have been seriously, like, today has been a day of rest after a exciting weekend, and I went to the Belmont Stakes on Saturday, and that was pretty awesome, although, you know, there was no Triple Crown, but that's okay. And, yeah, I had a night out in Brooklyn last night. You know, I hardly ever go to Brooklyn, so.
All right. So we've had some real traveling. So anyway, I'm excited for our show tonight. I just want to let folks know that if they want to call in and join our conversation, you're welcome to do that. The call-in number, the guest call-in number is area code 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. So I know that we had talked a bit about earlier in the week. I know that there's a lot of things that are going on. I was sort of checking out my Twitter feed earlier tonight and just, you know, just interesting things that are happening in the world. I don't know if you heard about the D.C. public schools. There was the principal at Wilson High School in D.C. came out at a Pride event as gay. And so the Westboro Baptist Church decided that they were going to you know, picket the church. They came with all of their really ugly and horrible signs. And it looks like from the pictures that I'm seeing, there were, I don't know, maybe 10. And what happened was that the students from Wilson High School and from the other public schools in D.C. showed up at the event with just all of these wonderful signs standing on the side of love, rainbow flag, and the number of people who came out in support of this principal and the students in the D.C. public school was really exciting. And Wilson High School principal Pete Cahill, the principal, and I'm just really excited to see that you know, the young people were just so supportive of their principal, who they love, and the city itself was just very supportive of this principal. And that, you know, in truth, in very real ways, love does triumph. And
so that was
one of the things that I saw in the news. It just, you know, it did my heart good. And you know, we know that so much is done and said in the name of faith, and specifically the name of Christianity, that you and I as Christians certainly don't agree with, abide by, really feel are hateful and wrong, and not where Jesus would be standing at this point.
Absolutely. I mean, I always feel like those kinds of attempts to use religion are you know, always used to put someone else down a rung on the ladder. They're never used to build people up. And, oh, I shouldn't say never, but, you know, we hear about that less. And you know, the reality is, or at least my reality, my particular, you know, brand of theology expresses that it's quite the opposite, that religion is, or that faith, or that, you know, the God of your understanding is to be uplifting and to bring people out of oppression and depression, and, you know, and allowed to be themselves. I mean, what if, but, you know, to talk about the high school, the Wilson High School, I mean, that's really such a sign of the times. I mean, I, you know, first of all, that it made news and that it was considered good news, I think is really encouraging. And, you know, that people, you know, this Westboro Baptist Church, I mean, they're just seem to be very relentless, and frankly, it scares me a little bit, or scares me quite a bit. But you're right. I mean, love wins. I mean, and it always will. And you know, I think my goal is to have, you know, the battle not be so long.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, just for the folks who may be listening to the first time and are not as familiar with our show and with the Blog Talk Radio Network, spiritually speaking, as a year old, and on our first anniversary, we expanded and became, spiritually speaking, not just with Reverend Jen, but with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. And we are just two women in ministry. I am a spiritual life and leadership coach and ordained pastor in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. I've served in congregations. I've served in advocacy organizations. And I'm just really blessed to be serving God in this way through this media, as well as working with clients one-on-one in my life and leadership coach, spiritual life and leadership coach practice. And Rebecca, why don't you say a few words about the work that you do?
Yeah, so I'm a children's choir director at the First Presbyterian Church in New York City. In the fall, I will attend Union Seminary and start my 3-year journey toward ordination in the Presbyterian Church for some kind of music ministry somewhere. You know, I 3 years is a long time, but anyway, that's what I do now. And I play a little folk music here and there. So yeah, and I've been writing actually a little bit lately, which has been nice.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah.
So what's on your heart and mind that you want to talk about this evening?
Well, first of all, I want to, you know, I want to lift up, it was a little bit heavy, but it's just been on my mind today. One of my coworkers at First Pres, his son on Saturday night, 25-year-old son, was shot and killed. And so I've just been thinking about that family, and I was a little frustrated yesterday and today, not quite sure how my particular faith community was going to respond. And I called to the church today to just see if there were any updates, and they've set up counseling for his family, and they are planning some kind of outreach, either taking food or whatever, and we'll go to the funeral when those arrangements have been made. So I just wanted to, you know, put that out into the world, and you know, just, I know we just talked about good news, but I'm reminded that people are struggling.
Well, and this is such a spiritual issue and an issue that we have to deal with at our society that I think really does get to the heart and soul of who we are as people, and certainly as people of faith and people of goodwill and nonviolence. And, you know, and we all know the statistics. I have been just in such pain for my old hometown of Chicago that has just seen so much violence, and there has been so much gang violence, and there was a recent shooting where a woman who is a longtime school teacher, special ed school teacher in the south suburbs of Chicago, was shot in just a very random, she was a bystander. She was, in her house. And the powerful weapons that people are able to get their hands on when they're shot, that come through the doors and come through the walls and are able to, kill innocent victims who are doing nothing more than, being in their house in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I know that my colleague, Reverend Michael Flagger in Chicago at the Faith Community of St. Sabina on the South Side, has just, he has been raising his voice, and I'm really thankful for Father Mike and for others who have been so forceful and so vocal about our need as faith communities, as people of faith, to push for stricter gun laws. I realize that, we can't regulate guns completely off the street, but we certainly can make them more difficult to get. We saw the Seattle Pacific University shooting and the shooting in Las Vegas, and these shootings are starting to become a daily event. I really fear that as a society we're becoming numb to the pain, and when it happens so close to home, here you are with a colleague who has just lost his 25-year-old son in the prime of his life, just starting his life, and to have that light snuffed out, I just have to believe that this really does, God is crying when we have so many children who are not making it to adulthood because of guns and violence on our streets.
It's really something that, and you're right, like it hit me close to home. I mean, it was so close to home. I just I've never really known anybody close, like that, that would have something like that happen. And I think it really, it just speaks to so much about, like you said, our society of violence, where we just accept that these things happen. I mean, this is not in the news. This is not.
Right, this isn't going to make the newspaper.
No.
It's not going to make the 6 o'clock news.
No. And we are just so accepting that, in fact, I said something to someone about it yesterday who knows my colleague. I said, I'm feeling, sad about this. And they said, unfortunately, this is, something that I can't remember the quote, and I don't want to, this person had good intentions by saying this, but the implication was that this was no surprise. And, I that just broke my heart. I just thought, why are we not surprised. Like, this is shocking.
Right.
And it should be shocking, and it should shock us, and it should scare us. And then, you know, then we should take action. And I don't know, you know, I think you can appreciate, you know, that in ministry, you know, we don't have the answers all the time. And the action is very difficult to articulate. But, you know, I am encouraged, you know, by seeing lots of good news in the news, and I think that there are good people everywhere trying to do good in the world, and I'm happy to be a part of that force.
Mm-hmm.
And thankful, frankly.
Yeah.
Really thankful. Yeah,
of course. And mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is unfortunate when we sort of take these kinds of shootings for granted, that, you know, there's really nothing that we can do about it. There's really, you know, and just like you were saying, that, you know, you don't know someone who has been shot or who's lost a family member or a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a lot to do with our privilege and the fact that we, you know, we don't live in communities where these kinds of shootings are happening on a regular basis. But if you talk to folks in those communities, everyone is affected. They don't know, you know, they know many people who have been taken from them because of gun violence. And, you know, people who live in lower income communities want the same things as the rest of us do. They want safe schools for their kids. They want to live in a safe neighborhood where, you know, there isn't gun violence, where you can walk down the streets without being in fear of, you know, what might happen to you. And I'm just, you know, it really does. It makes me sad. And I have to believe that, like I was saying, that God cries and is crying with us in that grief. I want to invite some folks to join our conversation. If you're listening and you have something to add, you'd like to talk about a topic that is on your heart, please give us a call. Our guest call-in number is area code 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And you're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. I know that, you know, one of the things that I've realized, particularly around gun violence, and this is something that I've learned over time, is that as the weather gets warmer, more people are out, and the number of gun deaths rise in the summer.
Yeah, in the summer.
Because there's less going on, that students aren't
in school. Yeah.
And so it becomes a more, you know, frequent thing. But, you know, you'd think that with the number of university shootings and, you know, these mass shootings that we've been seeing on a regular basis, that there would be some outcry for, you know, how do we address this as a society? And I think, you know, it's gun control, I have to say, and I'm a gun control advocate, and I will own that on the air.
Absolutely.
That's one piece, but certainly we need to also address the number of the amount of just violence in our society.
Yeah.
And I think we have to look at, I'm not a big fan of censorship, but I think we need to, as a society, look at what are we consuming in the way of media. You know, what are we consuming in the way of what we, you know, comes under the guise of entertainment, whether it's in incredibly violent video games, which which our young men and young women are playing, where literally, you know, you're watching, you know, people are being killed, and they're very graphic and very gory even.
Mm-hmm.
And the... you know, what's being around on the internet. I know that little community of Waukesha, Wisconsin has really been reeling from the stabbing of a 12-year-old girl by two other 12-year-old girls who were taking their cues from things that they were reading and watching and seeing on the internet. And, you know, I mean, the it's really miraculous in some ways that the young woman that was stabbed is still alive, because one of her stab wounds became within millimeters of her heart, in which case, you know, she wouldn't be here. We'd be talking about the murder of this young woman, two of her classmates.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, it's frightening. It's frightening when we're talking about 12-year-old girls with knives, and we're talking about young men and women with guns, and people who feel as though the only way that they can ever be safe is to carry a gun. You know, folks in our profession, folks who work in churches, you know, Georgia just passed a law that would enable folks to have concealed carry weapons in churches, unless the church has, you know, an explicit sign on their door that says you may not bring a concealed weapon in. I mean, they can only prohibit it if they, you know, explicitly prohibit it and make sure that there's signage that says that people cannot bring their guns into a church.
Yeah.
I remember when an issue came up like this when I was working in the Illinois legislature, and I was going around talking to legislators, and this was 6, 7, 8 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at them and I said, no. First of all, we don't need concealed carry, and we don't need weapons in churches.
No.
You know, this is our faith communities, our churches need to be places where we have conversation, and we have civil conversation, and we try like hell, if you will, to make peace and be able to resolve our differences in constructive ways. And it just was terrifying to me that anybody, first of all, would want to bring a concealed weapon into a church, that they would feel so fearful that they would need to have some protection or, you know, I guess I don't really understand. And if any of our listeners are out there and want to call in and help us maybe to understand this issue, but I don't understand what motivates someone to bring a gun, to carry a concealed weapon, first of all, and certainly bring one to church. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, my thing is that, you know, I grew up in the South. A lot of people own guns. I mean, my dad owned guns, and I had guns, plural. He had maybe three, I think he had three. I think he had two rifles and a handgun or something like that, that I never saw until I was maybe in high school. I mean, he didn't bring them out. He didn't hunt. But I grew up around a lot of people who hunted and that kind of thing. And so those folks are very protected. You know, they're very concerned about their gun rights. And with a lot of respect, I'm not very sympathetic to people wanting to hang on to their guns. It's just something that I just don't have, because people are dying from guns. And so to me, like, if I own something that was, even in another part of the world, was, you know, I'm trying to give a good metaphor. You know, it's the same reason why I buy fair trade coffee. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want something that I own to potentially be hurtful to someone else. And so, I don't know if that makes any sense. Are you there? Did I lose you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, sorry.
Yep, I'm here.
I wasn't sure. Okay, so.
No,
so,
I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, the best intentioned person, I mean, a person who has 100% safety on their mind, who is a super responsible gun owner, you know, I will never feel safe around a gun. Guns do not make me feel safe. And so it's just like you said, it's something that I don't quite understand. Guns, to me, do not create safety. They create tension. And even in the most well-planned, well-intentioned situation, guns kill people. They kill people. And so I'm just not... It's just something that I'm not interested in at all.
Well, I think, I think we had similar upbringings. I mean, there were guns in my house when I was growing up,
mm-hmm.
too, and
mm-hmm.
they were for hunting, and I don't have particular issues with people who want to hunt legally and have, you know, a shotgun or two or a rifle in order to do that. But the guns that are now being, that are being produced and being marketed are so dangerous, and they're so powerful. And the fact that you can go out and buy a semi-automatic handgun or an automatic rifle that you can, get 30 rounds off in a matter of seconds. And the question becomes, what do we need that level of, and how is this protection? You know, unfortunately, most children who are killed by handguns are killed either by themselves, by accident, by other children, because they find the handguns in the house. If you don't have a handgun in your house, it's very unlikely that, you know, there's going to be an accidental shooting.
Right.
And,
right.
I think that people find handguns to be somewhat of it's not a real safety. It's a false sense of security.
Yes.
Because even in situations where you are being threatened, it's more likely that you are the one, because you're caught off guard, you're going to be the one that your handgun can be used on you.
Absolutely.
This is often happens with folks who have experienced home invasions. If there is a gun in the house, it's more likely to be used on the person who owns the gun than by the person who owns the gun.
Right.
And it's not that level of security that I think often we kind of need to think about this through the lens of our faith. You know, what does our faith, what does certainly our understanding of Christianity say to the violence in our society, to these laws that are, you know, allowing folks to bring weapons into, concealed weapons into churches. You know, what is this?
Yeah.
What does our faith have to say to just that, as we were talking about, that level of violence that is just, it's so permeating our society. And I just wonder, at what point do we get to say, no, we're not
exactly.
We're not going to allow. I mean, we do try to have some restrictions on, you know, how old you have to be in order to play some of these video games. But unless, you know, parents are taking responsibility to make sure that their children are not playing these games at such a young age that, you know, it's really difficult to tell
yeah.
between fact and fiction.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing is being supervised. And you know, kids. I grew up. My parents are educators, and you know, again, like you mentioned earlier, you know, I grew up privileged, and so my parents both have advanced degrees. I had, you know, uber, you know, amount of opportunities growing up. I had, you know, I went to music lessons and I went to summer camp and we always had nice holidays and, you know, and so I grew up just very, just not in that world. And I think that, you know, it's important, you know, I as a musician am not interested in censorship, but I do think that it's important to talk to your children about what they're seeing and hearing and, and, you know, talk about it. You know, what is that? What is that word? What is that, you know, what is that game that you're playing, you know, tell me about, you know, the rules, tell me about how you win. And those discussions are so important to start at a very young age. So we at least as a human race have an understanding of what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Yeah, certainly. I think that we've seen the rise of bullying and just, you know, like we're seeing violence, student violence on students that, you know, from communities that where you wouldn't expect it. So, again, sort of the privileged language of, in Waukesha, Wisconsin, we shouldn't expect this to happen. And yet... That's not the case. We are seeing it, and it's pervasive everywhere. And whether or not we're recognizing that pervasiveness and actually doing something within our faith communities to counter what we're seeing on the media, in, you know, entertainment, and just to be able to have a conversation, as you were saying, with young children that, you know, is a reminder that this is not real. You know, when you shoot someone with a gun in real life, they don't come back when you turn the game back on.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Yeah.
You know, forever and ever. And,
I think that, you know, in faith communities, the key word is communication. We so often don't want to talk about these things because they're so sad and so complicated and frustrating. But again, we want to come into church and somebody said to me recently, I want to come to church, I want to hear a sermon, I want to sing some songs, and I want to go home. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to have these difficult discussions because it's difficult. You know, it makes us face our own weaknesses as a society and as a faith community. And then, you know, we're called to act, and that's challenging. You know, I think that talking about it and leaders really having courage to say to their congregants or their groups or whoever, you know, we have to talk about this. I know it's rough, but we have to talk about it. There's so many other issues that have been coming up recently, you know, the LGBTQ issues in the church that we just didn't want to talk about for so long. And still a lot of faith communities don't want to talk about it, but it's they're finally starting to talk about those things. You know, we're starting to talk about.
Well, yeah, and
so
I think this is a great. Yeah, this is a great topic of conversation, and I just want to invite any of our listeners to call in. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-9397. I'm going to say that again because I said it pretty fast. It's 646-716-9397. You're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. We've been talking about sort of what's on our mind and our hearts today. We've gotten on the subject of gun violence, but I think the even bigger issue that maybe we can spend the next 20 or so minutes on is what are those issues that we don't want to talk about in the church? And you mentioned, you know, violence, I think bullying, one of those issues we often don't want to deal with in the church. I think for many, many years and in many, many churches and to this day in many churches, talking about issues that affect people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, just people don't want to talk about. It's not just those issues. I think that, you know, we have become such a consumer-driven society that our consumerism, it drives our church behavior. So as you were saying, in your church community, people want to go and they want to receive their church. They want to, you know, they want their hour
their
or so
right.
of church. And then and then they want to go, but they don't really want it to require things of them. I wanted to mention this tonight, and I'm hoping that on a later episode can have one of my colleagues on who is really rethinking how we're doing church. And I know that for her, some of the anxiety that she's had over some of the ways that of trying to do new things in the church is that some of the older members, the members who do tend to sort of gravitate towards traditional church, you know, may not be comfortable being asked to. They have a table church, and so they cook their meals to get the meal together, and they have worship and fellowship while they're cooking and eating and cleaning up, and it's just a beautiful thing. But for people who are not accustomed to being asked to participate in church in that way, you know, that could be pretty uncomfortable.
Well, it's a commitment. I mean, it comes to, and speaking of table church, you know, Emily Scott, our buddy down at St. Lydia's in Brooklyn, they're doing a huge...
And they're having worship tonight as we speak.
They are. They're doing a huge campus fundraiser right now. And, in fact, let me just plug that real quick. If anybody listening wants to know more about St. Lydia's Dinner Church, go to stlydias.org. It's stlydias.org. They are raising money right now to have their own, to move into their own storefront, their own building. And this is just an incredible ministry. And Emily has been a friend and mentor to me and done so much for me. But I encourage anybody who's interested in different kinds of church to take a look at that website and to also give them some money. They're doing an Indiegogo campaign. And you know.
Yeah, what a wonderful website. It's a great way to, you know, look at the work and learn more about mm-hmm. the work that they're doing. I know that, Rebecca, we've talked about wanting to have Emily on the show, and we'll definitely do that, but it yeah. will be a pre-recorded show because every Sunday and Monday night, so every night that we're on the air on Monday nights, on the second and fourth Monday night, she's going to be in church at St.
Yeah.
Lydia's. So we do definitely want to be able to have her on, and maybe even our next show on June 23rd, we'll talk a little bit more about mm-hmm. these different ways of doing church and see
yeah.
if we can't do at least a pre-recorded spot or a segment of the show with Emily so that she can talk
yeah.
more about that and the Indiegogo campaign that they've embarked on so that they can help to raise money. And it's just a really and just have her give us a sense more of what she sees the way in which this different way of being church is meeting people's needs.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello? Hello?
Yes. I'm still
okay.
here.
Okay. You cut out for just a second. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, I think the challenge, and I'll be interested to hear what Emily says about this, but, you know, like we were saying, church really is a commitment. Church is a community, and in communities you have to give and take. You know, it's something that you have to sign up for, frankly. And we talk about that a lot. First Prez is a very large church. We've got, you know, over 1,200 members. But we don't have 1,200 people in worship every Sunday. You know, and the question is, you know, what does it mean to join a church? What does that really mean?
Well, you know, it's been really interesting that there was a research study done recently that people were asked if they were, you know, actively involved in a church
mm-hmm.
and then what that meant. So
mm-hmm.
I would say maybe, you know, 25, 30, 40 years ago, if you said you were actively involved in a church, it meant you went basically every Sunday. Now it means that you probably go twice a month. And so, and that to people is being actively involved in a church.
And that's
just
what,
you know,
goes on
really
on Sunday
changed.
Morning.
Right, and that's just what goes on Sunday mornings. And sometimes, you know, a lot of those folks, unfortunately, their only involvement in church is what goes on Sunday
yeah.
morning.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, that's the sum and total of what they experience about church.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it is sort of a consumer model where people come in and they get what they need and then they leave and they go back
yeah.
to the rest of their lives. But what we're seeing, I think, and I'd love to talk with Emily and perhaps some other folks who are doing church in a different way about this. I think what we're seeing with millennials and folks from the younger generation is that they want meaning. They're looking
yeah.
for community. They
mm-hmm.
Don't want to be necessarily just told what to think or believe, but
yeah.
really want to be invited into a conversation and have questions and wrestle with those questions and think for themselves and debate what, you know, what does faith mean for me as an individual?
Yeah.
And I think that's super exciting. I think that's, you know, if the church is, you know, in the United States, the Christian church in the United States is going to survive and thrive, it's going to
yeah.
be in communities where there really is a sense of community. And there really is a sense that what we're doing together makes a difference in the world. Yeah. So I just want to give our guest call-in number one more time. We've got 15 minutes left. Our guest call-in number is 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. You know, we've been talking, we talked a bit about gun violence and the church, and we're talking a bit about new ways of being church and the, you know, and really what younger Christians are looking for in a community, you know, and you know, we talked too about the what else is, you know, what do people not want to deal with in the church? And I think it's becoming less and less common that they don't want to deal with LGBTQ issues, or they don't want to be accepting and opening, open and affirming of people of, you know, varying sexualities and genders and gender expressions, and even just sort of understanding the variety of people who are out there and the ways in which they are defining themselves in the world. So
I see that a lot in New York. I mean, New York is such a, you know, for a city of 8 million people, it can be a very lonely place. And people of all walks of life, they just want a safe community where they can go and, like you said, be a part of a discussion, maybe even be challenged. And, you know, they're looking for, essentially, for family. And and it's not, it's what's interesting. In fact, I had a conversation last night with someone who said, I want to go to church. And I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no, like, I want to find God or I want to. It was a very simple, I just want to go to church. You know, she is a musician, and she's like, you know, it's sort of a break from all of this craziness of the city or craziness of a person's life, you know, to be able to go.
So you feel like it was coming from, a space of wanting community or wanting just the, maybe the silence or the, maybe the rest that this person particularly, closely identifies with church.
Yeah, absolutely. All of that. And I also think that for artists, going to church is very inspirational for your artwork, frankly.
Mm.
For musicians to write, for artists to create, mold, paint, whatever, for writers to write. Having a spiritual experience, you know, there is no better way to get creative juices flowing.
I think that's right. And you know, in a couple of weeks, you and I are going to be in a music and creative festival at the Wild Goose Festival in Hot Springs, North Carolina. I know I'm super excited about being there. I know you are as well. It's a great community. They're still selling tickets. If you're interested in going, you should definitely, you know, look it up. Just Google Wild Goose Festival 2014. You can follow them. You can look them up on Twitter. They're hashtag Wild Goose 2014. And, you know, there really have been ways to look at and discussions about how to be church. And how to, be able to join us. We've got a caller, and so I want to bring them on the air and welcome them to the conversation. Hi there. Good evening.
Hello. Hello, good evening. My name's Sam.
Hey,
I'm calling. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Sam.
Hey.
I'm calling from Western North Carolina. I go to Western Carolina University, and I wanted to talk about the issue of church relations with the LGBTQT, all that community. So I'm a member of a Methodist campus organization called the Wesley Foundation, And on my campus, we are the only out of many religious or like ministries or student ministries that Safe Zone certified through. And with that, we've seen repercussions from that, not from anybody else, but the other student ministries, as far as we're kind of outcasted from the other ones because that we took that move and took that step to become Safe Zone certified. And I think that's one of the hindrances of the church today, is because no one wants to talk about it, they just kind of, if they don't like it, they just turn their backs to it and act like it doesn't exist, which doesn't help anybody.
And it's not Christ-like.
Sure.
I mean, let me just stand in judgment and say, that's not Christ-like.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know, well, and it's a challenge. And I think that what a lot of us experience as challenging in the church is that there, you know, unfortunately, the vast majority of Christian communities are not accepting of gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender folks. They're just not. And when that's the norm, it makes it very difficult for those of us who are really trying to welcome folks who are, have differing gender expressions and sexualities into our communities and into the conversation, and make them feel as though that anything to do with Christianity is safe space. So, Sam, I think it's exciting the work that you're doing at Western Carolina, and that you are creating safe space in a faith community for folks who have not felt safe in faith communities.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Sam. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think one of the main things that we're trying to push out there, and kind of going again with what you're talking about, what young people, even by young people, people my age in my mid-20s, like what they want out of church, and it's not this dog and pony show of bright lights and rock bands on stage. They want something that is intellectually thriving to them, and something they can chew on when they leave and think about it for the rest of the week until they go back the next time. And I think by pushing those and kind of talking about the differences between religious doctrine and what, like a socially constructed doctrine, that, we're going away from really the teachings of Jesus and going more to, the teachings of what we think is maybe more right, because it's more comfortable for us to not include this certain group of people.
And unfortunately, the Bible is so full of contradictions that it's easy to, it's easy for people to pick out one line or one place where they talk about, something like that, and then they've got their, for lack of a better word, proof, what the Bible says, and so they can, you can build an entire church around, one sentence in the Bible and claim that that's the Word of God, and that's what we should be doing as Christians, and that's really dangerous, religion. And and I think, Sam, for you, I think that these changes that are coming, especially in faith communities, are coming from, from millennials, like Jen was saying. I mean, this is not going away. This is not a fight that's happening and that's going to, fizzle out.
Right.
Because people of all kinds of identities they need church too. And they need support, and they need families, and they need community. And so,
what's really interesting to me is that what I've seen, Sam, is with folks in your generation that they don't want to be a part of a church where all of their friends wouldn't be welcome.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's definitely a shift, and we're seeing a pretty significant shift in that direction. But thank you so much for calling.
We're
going to be wrapping things up, but thanks for calling and giving us your input. It was great to talk
Anytime.
To you.
Anytime. Great talking to you.
Okay.
Good to hear from you.
Bye.
So that's, I think that's a great way to sort of start to wrap up our conversation here. We only have
Absolutely.
About a little over 4 minutes left. And I really appreciated Sam's call. You know, folks, any of you who are listening, if you are listening to us in our archive version, which is available on iTunes as well as, I know, on my website, I post all of our former shows. All of the archive versions of the shows are on my website, which is seedspiritualcoaching.com. That's seed, S-E-E-D, spiritualcoaching.com. Seed stands for spiritual energy, engagement, and direction. And I'm excited to be going to Wild Goose to be part of a team of spiritual directors who are going to be working during the festival, providing our services to those who just want to be able to have a conversation with someone about their spiritual life and their spiritual walk.
So exciting,
and
Jen.
That's what
that's
I
so
do
cool.
with, thank you, thank you. It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, this is what I do with my clients in my private practice. I work with folks in their spiritual life and also their spiritual leadership, so clergy and lay leaders who are trying to be better spiritual leaders in their community and maybe do some things differently, deepen their own spirituality, think about ways that they can also help to make their community more spiritual. That's what we do. So I encourage any of us, any of you who are listening tonight, that if you're interested in that, you want to hear some of our other shows, please go to my website. Again, that's seedspiritualcoaching.com. And I can be reached at jennifer@seedspiritualcoaching.com. So, Rebecca, you want to just let folks know how they can reach out to you and some of the things that you've got coming up?
Yeah, I, of course, will be at Wild Goose. That's super exciting. That's, you know, my old stomping ground, so I'll be in North Carolina. I'm actually going to be in North Carolina for about 6 weeks this summer. Hoping to do some LGBTQ ally training, and that's not confirmed yet, but anyway, I'm hoping to do that and play a little music. And you can, I'm on, of course, Facebook. I'm on Twitter. My Twitter handle is A New Rebecca, and you can tweet me. And you can also go to the First Presbyterian Church website to email me if you want to get in touch with me via email. I also just want to lift up again St. Lydia's, stlydias.org, to just check out their website, check out what they do. This is an important ministry that has, frankly, saved a lot of lives, a lot of spiritual lives, and a lot of, folks who just needed a family. If you do watch the video, the Indiegogo video, I did all the music for that video. So
wonderful.
So that was exciting.
It's
and fun.
Props to you.
Great. give them a little bit of money. And thank you everybody for listening.
Yeah, we want you to be able to know when we're on, what topics we're going to be talking about, interact with us in other ways. So please like our Facebook page. You can find us at Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca on Facebook. And as Rebecca said, she's on Twitter as A New Rebecca, and I'm on Twitter at Coach Rev Jen. So Coach, the word Rev, R-E-V, Jen, J-E-N. So I'm excited to be wrapping up the show tonight. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you
all for
listening. And we wish you God's blessings. until we meet again 2 weeks from tonight on June 23rd. God bless you.
Good night. Bye.